Yes, we have seen the fire seam and how it fuels Jenny Booley's work, and how multi-headed hydrosity keeps the Maggie Nelson hungry, and how Leah Purpura's displacer beasting makes her impossible to hit or track or tame. Yet every series has an end, and thus we arrive tonight at our temporary terminus. I say temporary because, though it's not officially blessed with the hybrid series moniker, the prose series will be bringing in another pair of hybrids in February, Ariana Zvartis and Aisha Sabatini Sloan, so I hope you'll return for that in your Priuses. I would like to take the opportunity to also to thank Sibel Knowles, whose dark arts have given much life to this series, so please a round of applause for Sibel. So, tonight, maybe the better question is not to ask what makes a hybrid hybrid, but to ask what writer of any worth is not. What does it mean to be a poet, a novelist, an essayist? And which tools are you not allowed to use when you're forced to pick a team? Whose words are you made of, anyway? All to say that we hope that you transcend the categories you've been saddled with and are more magical and fierce than you think or know. But back to our game. Of our smallish set of four, Talia Field seems to me the least easy to metaphorize, I'm just making this word up, I don't know if it's a word, to monsterize. You can certainly call our other visitors essayists or poets, and they can live successfully in a cage like that for a while. Let us not forget how genre is a cage, for the convenience of the marketer, the bookseller, and occasionally the academy. But I don't have any idea how to pen one like Talia Field. From an interview, though, there's this. Across her work, she, quote, attempts practices where hardened concepts become softened, or can be softened. These hardened concepts, objectivity, the unassailability of the eye, genre, conventional understandings of story, sanctified syntaxes, and predictable forms. She reminds us that the work we do in being, in naming and assuming, is a paradox, that our sense of self, however hard fought, is like being afloat with a little life vest that we call an eye in exceptionally stormy seas, except the vest itself is dissolving as we move, are tossed, and as we think about our situation. So there's an idea. So in this case, we have two great beasts from which to field. First, the rust monster, which corrodes metal weapons and armor at a touch. I really wish it could be so, because I love the rust monster. But second, and I think better, is maybe my favorite beast in all of Dungeons & Dragons, the gelatinous cube. A slow-moving, 10-foot, motivated chunk of powerful animal jello. Always on the move, sliding slowly toward you. Unstoppable, more translucent than transparent, so you can see through it, but at a slant. And if it touches you, first it paralyzes, then it consumes, then it digests you and your gear, rendering most of you a mush. The process is unpleasant but illuminating. Oh, these bloods, those bones, here's who we loved and how and when until we didn't anymore. There's those words, the book that we wrote, that crappy cloak, the paradox of I and being, part of and apart. These are our component parts on which so much depends. Her work reframes questions more often than it offers answers. Reading a text by Talia Field is like losing our balance and falling into wonder. First, she is a reconfigurator, a recombination machine, a questioner and a dissident. She is perhaps a field of haze, a cloud of gaze, and birds that somehow constitute a philosophy at a certain time of day each day. If held to the light, her words seem a gauzy scrim through which we can see but only partly, and what is seen is transfigured by the filter. Strangeness and irreducibility, isn't that what we ask of art? Well, instead, let's just ask her collaborators tonight, Mike Coakley, Kendra Mullison, and Aaron Zwiener, and let's just ask Talia Field. And please welcome her.